Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm doing you. Hello. So we're having another edition of the Mad Dags Blog Talk Radio. And we're just glad to be greeting you again today. We're hoping that you have prosperity in your life and you had grace from God, that you had all the things that you wanted to do this beginning of this new year. And it seems like this year is going faster than what we anticipated, because we're all way into what? The 10th day. All right, so to get this program started, this is the Mad Dad Blog Talk Radio Show. Our number is 1-347-215-9262. And we're asking all our listening audience to please call in and express their concerns and share them with the topic of the day. And our topic of the day, we're dealing with the issue of fathering in our communities. We're dealing with the topic of what males are lacking in the parenting of their children, and what we can do as men to further encourage our children through being positive role models and positive fathers in the lives of our kids. I was reading something here from, it said, Longing for Dad, Dad's Loss and Its Impact, and how important it is for us as fathers to be in the lives of our children. They say for the couple of hundred years now, each generation of fathers has passed on less and less to his sons. Not just less power, but less wisdom and less love. We have finally reached a point where most fathers are largely irrelevant in the lives of their sons. Babies have been thrown out with the bathwater, and fathering has come to dismissed. Everyone seems to be floundering around not knowing what to do with men or with this pragmatic or disorientation of masculinity. Man, I mean, that's a heavy statement, man. And then, you know, I mean, but, you know, this was a unified conception that this guy had put out here, right, about the involvement of fathers into their sons' lives. Because we got to understand, we know that women are necessary to bring in the life of our children, our sons, our daughters. We understand that. But as men, we're responsible for the tutorage of our sons. And, you know, you think about it, man. You know, I mean, like, you know, I ride the bus for the Metro Transit system. And I see a lot of kids from the ages of 15 all the way on up to the age of 25. And they be having all these different babies by different young ladies and stuff. We see the birth rate of adolescent mothering intensively growing in this country. And with the intensively growing population of these young children who are having children, you know, I mean, you know, we look at the unemployment rate. We look at the dropout rate. We look at the rate in which these children are being parented themselves. So this has become the pragmatic problem that we're experiencing in our community right now. We have young boys from the ages of even as young as 10 that are proclaiming their masculinity through their sexuality, you know? And I mean by that is that we've all experienced it, man. You know, we got these young fathers out there that have these kids and stuff. And they periodically come see their children and stuff and saying when him and the mom is on a okay basis and stuff like that there and stuff, you know? And then when he come into the home and stuff, you know what I'm saying, he's listening to rap music, you know, he's got a MD2 or MD whatever player in his ear, you know what I'm saying, he's bouncing to a chingy and he's, you know, he's sagging and, you know, he got his hat cocked to the side, man, you know what I'm saying, he got his swag on and all that stuff, and his infant child is sitting there watching him, you know what I'm saying, and we understand that children imitate the behavior and the mannerisms of people in front of them, you know. So what are we telling our young kids today? You know, that when we follow these kids home And we know he's up. He's threatening and disruptive in the classroom. The teachers are scared of him. You know, they don't really know how to lay up here and put on some disciplinary for the children, because I feel it's unnecessary for a teacher to be a disciplinarian in the classroom when the teacher is supposed to be teaching our children. You know, I think the discipline is supposed to start at the house, right? But we send our kids out and encourage our children to lay up here and display their individuality. You know what I'm saying? We encourage our young men to display their individuality and their masculinity, you know, through the expression of their independence. You know what I'm saying here? You know, we're teaching our children that it's all right for you to lay up here and just say inappropriate things. You know, for you just speak out of turn, for you not to understand that when you're in an institution, like a higher learning, such a school, you know, when they go in, I go off into the grade schools and I talk to the teachers, I talk to the kids, and, you know, we see kids in the first, second, and third grade with behavioral problems, you know, anger management issues. You know, where is this stuff coming from? So this is what we're talking about. Our fathers socialize males, you know. Our men are responsible for the status quo of the socialization of our communities. You know, I mean, because, like, you think about it, man. When Big Mom and them was coming up, they had a structure in the family. You know, your father would leave the house in the morning. He'd come back home around about 6 o'clock. Family sat down to the evening meal, you know. Topics was discussed, you know. But now we've lost that, you know. We very seldom have families that sit down at the table with their children, you know. We have fewer and fewer men who are actively involved in the lives of their children. So we're asking you today, you know, what's your thoughts on this issue? You know, what are the things that we have to do? Because, see, we can't keep on saying, you know, this is the problem, you know, without coming up with solutions to these problems. And one of the problems that we have is the expectations of what a good man is, you know. What is expected of a man today, you know. And I'm saying, man, I know it's hard with the women's movement. The advances they've made in their societal responsibilities and the responsibilities they have with holding down jobs, supporting their children. You know, I understand all that, and all that stuff is relevant to the reconstruction that we have to lay up here and think about in our communities. We're saying that, what is a man's expectations? What is expected of a man today in our community? You know, When a man can't fix, you know, when they usually get angry and convey the message that a person having a problem should stop having it so they themselves don't feel inadequate. You know what I mean? Well, you know what I mean by that? You know, I mean, it used to be when I was coming up, if I broke my wagon wheel and stuff, you know, I'd bring it to my father, or I'd bring it to my brother, or my older brother, or I'd bring it to my uncle, you know, and they would, you know, they would fix the wheel, but in the process of fixing my wheel or fixing the tire on my bike, they would show me hands on what I have to do, what tools I would have to use, you know, how I have to flip my bike upside down and stuff and then make it balance itself while he put the chain back on it for me and stuff, you know. Then he'd take the chain off of it, and he'd make me put it on to show me that the next time my chain slipped, I would know how to fix it. Those are the things that I'm talking about, you know. When, you know, those were the parental and the manly things that man translated down to their sons and their nephews, you know. And those things are missing out of our community today. And again, this is Blog Talk Radio, a Mad Dad's production. And we're at 1-347-215-9262. And we're asking all our listening viewers, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty because my screen is going off on this computer. It's doing what it wants to do. So you're going to have to contend with just hearing my voice. And again, I want to remind you that it's Tuesday, another Tuesday, and we're having a Mad Dad support group, and it starts at 5 p.m. tonight to 7 p.m. And we're asking all those within the hearing boundaries, north, south, east, and west, to come out and share an evening of information and food. You know, we have a banquet-style a buffet table that we provide a nourishing and wholesome meal. We have free meat giveaways. And we just ask you to come out and be an active part of the community today. And again, I want to excuse the fact that we're having technical difficulties with this computer screen. But I think this topic that we're talking about, we need to get on top of this. When men need reassurance, they tend to withdraw and feel uncomfortable. You know, and you know, think about that. You know, we're thinking about, you know, men that have to pick up the responsibility of being responsible. We're talking about men who have to not only just lay with women, but be responsible for the consequences of that activity. You know what I'm talking about. We're talking about those little crying voices that's reaching out for acknowledgement, that want to say da-da, daddy, and stuff like that. You know, what is the responsibility of the man that produces that seed? What responsibility does he have to that seed for the procreation of his next generation? You know? And the more that I talk to these young guys, you know, both on the street, often to our institutions, they seem to feel that they have a righteous indignation, man, toward the responsibility they have with women, because they say, well, hey, man, you know, it was a one-night stand, or hey, man, it was she knew it before before we got together, you know what I'm saying, that it was just a booty call, that type of stuff, you know what I'm saying, and he feels no regret in the consequences of the reprocreation of life, that when the lady gives birth, all of a sudden he steps up out the picture without no concern about the life he has put on this planet or the responsibility he has put in her lap. So, again, I'm sorry about the screen. I'm trying my best to get the screen on so that if we do have a caller, I can't really see you calling in. So, but I would like for you to just think about, you know, the topic that we have today, you know, that we have this father loss and its impact on our community. You know, that through the generational curses that we have placed upon ourselves, you know, that fix fast in the hurry mentality that we have. I want it right now, the way I want it, how I want it, you know, and that impact that it has left on the generation that's following behind us, you know. What signals are we sending to our kids about the responsibility of the male figure? You know, because see, now mama's going to work, she's bringing home the bread, she's bringing home the meat too, and she's preparing the meals, she's feeding the mouths. You know, so what is a man? He's just a seed donor. So again, we are experiencing technical difficulties, but we are in the process of trying to fix it. But I want to put out there that we are in desperate need of men to stand up, step up to the plate, and be responsible for their responsibilities. And we're talking about teen pregnancy. We're talking about botched relationships that leave our women with children. And what type of impact is this placed on our young men? He said, when men are socialized to be in control, to be the lone wolf, the lead whore, they feel like failure, but they are not. You know, well, how true is that statement? You know, I mean, because, like, you know, I come from Mississippi. I come from a line of men, you know, and they, you know, they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. They ready to lay up here and tackle the fields. Most of them were puckwood haulers, you know. Most of them worked in the grain industry and stuff, you know what I'm saying, granaries and stuff, you know. Most of them used their strength to plow, you know, that hard, strenuous work, you know. When the ones did want to leave the farm and leave the little rural areas in which they had grown up in and stuff, they went to the army or they went to the up north towards Chicago and the Midwest, you know, to the to auto industries, the steel mills, the granaries that was up in the north, and that was still grueling and hard and exhausting work, you know, but it paid them incomes and salaries that they had never experienced before, you know. So they were able to provide for their families. And, you know, they sat around the porches with the sleeves rolled up, you know, discussing the various topics of the day, the sports things, and those type of things.
Oh, Jim, you know, I'm sorry about this, but we're just locked down. I think you froze us out.
Who? So, I did.
Yeah, you did. You know you always
mess. No, I didn't. I didn't touch this. Straight up, this thing went out. This is still on.
Yeah. Gil came back here. Audience, Gil, Mr. Baggett has come back here and touched the button.
I didn't touch the button.
I asked you not to touch the
button. I have not touched.
You did this before.
No, I have not.
I asked him
if
not.
If I touched something, I would have told you I touched it. I did not touch anything.
Blog Talk audience, I have to inform you that Mr. Baggett has touched the button.
What button is touched?
I don't know what button
I did
touched.
Not touch the button.
Unfortunately, we can't fix this issue today, but we're going to get this issue straightened out. And Mr. Baggett is going to continue to give his opinions and continue his talk. And we're going to continue on with this topic next week, so you'll
y'all
have a chance to
y'all
jump
need
back.
To buy some proper equipment.
This is a non-profit.
Okay,
this
all
is
this
a
donated
non-profit.
Stuff,
stop
we need to give it back.
For money.
We need to get, we need a screen. So if anybody has a Dell screen that they don't use or don't need, please stop by at 3023 4th Avenue.
3026. See, you don't even know where we at.
No, we at 3023.
No, we at 3026.
Okay. All right. 3026 North Avenue, 4th Avenue South.
He done had too much coffee.
Yeah, too much.
But anyway, we're gonna let Mr. Baggett continue on, and we're gonna we're gonna continue this topic next week. And I just want to inform you that Miss Sarita Jones called, highly upset, saying that she got a lot to say.
I know she do.
Definitely, will be back next week.
I know she do.
But go ahead,
so,
Mr. Baggett.
You know, I'm getting all these. Hello.
Put on speakerphone.
Okay, that was you know who that was. Anyway, so you have an opinion you'd like to share with our listening audience, huh?
Huh?
I said you got I got you on speaker.
Yes, I mean my opinion really in the matter is I know how a lot of people ride these men and all that, but you know us as women, we have to stop laying down and having kids by people that can't even take responsibility for themselves. Maturity is a lot of, you know what I mean? That means a lot. Men have to mature just as well as men got to mature and want to take care of their children. My thing is, it's a lot of people going out here having babies by men that's running the streets and ain't even thinking about no baby.
Okay.
You know. So I think it stops there. Like you say, everything starts at the home. So it starts at the home when us women start thinking about who we want to have our children by. We want somebody to be taking care of our children, or we just want a man that's going to come over and sleep with us every now and then.
Okay. I really like the honesty of your expression, you know, because your statement is, you know, I mean, I think your statement is one that's shared by numerous of women out there, you know, and I hate to say that usually that comes from afterburn. You know what I'm saying? That after they've been stung into the realization that men are not being responsible, you know, for the act itself. You know what I'm saying? Or the consequences of the act. You know. So what do you think about the concepts of what are the expectations of a good man?
Well, my expectation of a good man is first somebody that can take care of themselves and that have no problems with helping someone else. You know, you have to not be a selfish person to be in a relationship. You know what I mean? Because you got to want good for the other person just as well as you do for yourself. If you get in a relationship with a selfish man that's always talking about him, what he needs to buy for himself and all that, that's just not the type of person you want to be in a relationship with. You know, a lot of people, and a lot of times this is what us as women, I mean, maybe not me, but women do that all the time. You know, get with men that's really not thinking about nobody but themselves. You know, they dang sure ain't thinking about a baby. They're not thinking even about a relationship half of them. They need to leave them in the streets where they at until they're ready to be men and responsible, you know, partners.
Okay, I understand that. But all right, what about this thing? What men are taught to exert power in order to be real men, and that their personal power comes from being anonymous.
Well, men exert power anyway. I mean, and I think men is—if you all are the leaders of the household, you know, when you get a household, you know, so it's like men have to exert power anyway. We understand that as women, we understand that, but it's a way to exert that power also. Some men just want to be able to control. You know, they're not really thinking about using their power in a positive manner. They're just thinking about controlling a bunch of different women, you know. So there's a difference. You got to have somebody that knows the difference between controlling and just having that power and using it for positive, you know, reasons, like for their children. Like you say, you got the power to make sure that your child is an outstanding adult, you know, and not a disrespectful adult, like you were saying earlier, going to school, disrespecting teachers and all that stuff. Fathers have the power to raise these children to the point where they're not like that. You know, they got the power to, you know, have a not.
Okay. So listen, audience, you know, you heard what our caller was talking about, and I agree with her on most of it, you know, that women have to lay up here and be the primal directive when it comes to talking about, here she goes again. Hello, caller. Okay, we got you back on speaker. You got to talk up, Carl. I can't hear you. Huh?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, let me make sure my phone is up.
Well, what about this? In this society, you know, especially in the African American community, when I was coming up, you know, women were taught to deny their power in order to be real women, and that their power is through alliance and connection with others. That women, you know, had to show their power by the relationships they develop in order to support their men. You understand what I'm saying there?
I kind of understand.
See, because like, all right, because like with my mom, when we was coming up, you know, she had a relationship with the man at the corner store, you know. He had an understanding that, hey, my old man didn't get paid to Friday, and that sometimes she would have to need an accessory groceries and stuff like that and accessories until Friday. You know what I'm saying? And she didn't have to lay down with the man in order to get these things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that,
right.
You know, that she knows she can go to her girlfriend down the street in order to lay up here and get some flour, to get some sugar, to get some washing powder or something like that. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't dealing with them Pampers back then, but you know what I'm saying? They had the, you know, the stove, you know, the diapers and stuff. So she knew she can go down there and get a loan and stuff like that. And it was a manner in which she was managing her home and stuff, you know?
I was raised that if you have a man in the home, you should not have to go and ask nobody for nothing. You know what I mean? You should not have to ask the man at the corner for anything because, you know, we should be managing our money good enough in the household that it's going to last us to the next check. You know, I mean, me personally, when family members come ask me for money and they got me and I ask where their man at, where their husband at. Should your husband be taking care of the household, you and your husband, or you and your partner? You know what I mean? That's how I was raised. I was raised that you shouldn't have to ask other people for nothing if you have a partner. And if I have a partner and I have to go ask and people at the corner store and other stuff like that, I'm going to get rid of him because he's not doing what he's supposed to do.
Well, maybe he's not making the money. Maybe he's not making the money to let being reached from a Monday to a Friday.
Because that's bad management, don't you think?
Oh, it's bad management on the woman's part?
No, that's bad money management on both of our part, because when I was a wife, you know what I mean, I took the money and I managed it and put it on the bills that needed to be put on and made sure I kept money until the next check. So I think that's just bad money management. People need to learn how to manage their money and stop spending it on stupid stuff.
All right. See, now that goes back again to the originality of the program. The original question was, are we teaching the right methods of parenting to our children? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because men's responsibility and men's obligation to this family has changed generationally. You know what I'm saying? That at one time, that the father was a primal income earner. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They were the one that was going outside the home, making the money, bringing the money home, giving it to the wives, and the wives was taking the money, doing the things that was necessary to for the continuation of the family. Right?
Right.
See, but now, through the women's movement and the more availability of jobs to women outside of the home, women have left that generational woman's role, and now they're becoming, you know, the breadwinner, the bread earner in the families. You know, that the requirements for a man is not necessarily there. To go back to your earlier comment about women just laying up with men, just want to have someone to lay up with, because of the rest of the things they can take care of themselves. You know, and that draws us off outside Pandora's box and takes us into another complicated issue of women raising men. You know,
you wonder why they're so irresponsible, because you're allowing them to be irresponsible. You know, you have to allow somebody to lay around on you like that and be the breadwinner. You know what I mean? If you're a woman and you allow a man to do that, don't wonder why he's so irresponsible down the line and he's not taking responsibility, because you're allowing it.
Okay, but you know, like typically, you know, women are taught to put others' needs ahead of theirs, especially in relationships. So a woman will lay up here and put a man's need before she put her children's need. You know, I mean, this has been like the term where, you know, we have those pity boys in our society, in our communities now, you know, who think they're too good to get their fingernails dirty, you know, who think they're too pretty to lay up here and sweat their shirts and things like that. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So, caller, I really, really find you fascinating. I think you're very wise. I think that you need to talk to some women groups or something, you know, because you're very, very, you know, focused on the things that you're saying. And I think you bring out some very, very good issues. But right now we have like 60 seconds left in this segment. I want you to call me back on the next segment so I can talk to you again, because you know you're the only one got my number, so you can call me back and we can continue this conversation, and that would be in around about another 30 seconds. Okay.
I sure will.
So okay, so we encourage those to call us at 1-347-215-9262, and this is a Mad Dad Blog Talk Radio program going out to the various communities out there, and we're talking about the responsibilities of men in the development of young boys today. So we'll start the next part of our program in 5. 5 seconds. Where's my eye touch?
Facebook page here.
I don't know how to get on it. Well, you get a lot of the wrong numbers, believe that.
She told me to let you do the same thing for stuff.
So she didn't want me to call this one?
I guess not. She just told me to say you're coming to their attention. I got a Facebook page right here. I know it's called. But my sister be on
there.
Hey, can you still hear me on the radio? No, I ain't
saying.
No, can you hear me?
I don't know. I have to go back on Blog Talk to see.
All right, go ahead back on Blog Talk and hit me up.
Okay.
I don't know if we're transmitting or not. I'm trying to live. We're having technical difficulties again with this system. We gonna figure this thing here out every week.
He said if you're not on Facebook, if you're not on it yourself, why the F is your sister on it? That's what I don't get. Just call me crazy. That don't sound right with me.
Okay.
And I said, because she's not friends with people I'm friends with. Was she not?
Okay.
You know, so she go on my page to try to be nosy to see.
Okay. See what you want.
Yeah. What they talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. My man said he don't think that's right.
He's just an old man. That's why.
Yeah. Lonely. I'm trying to see if we still programming. It sounds like we are, but I don't know. Noah's gonna talk about I sabotage. You touch the button. I don't count a button. Hello.
Hey.
Can you hear? Can you still hear me?
No, they said no shows are scheduled.
Oh, that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm through.
Oh, it won't go back in?
No, it won't kick back in. See, the screen left. The screen went black, so I can't see who calling in or anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so